This weekend, Father David is going to be celebrating his 29th anniversary of priestly ordination. And so I want to invite all of you to hold him in prayer, but also, since he's not here with us, I have the opportunity to encourage you to do something this week. You know, we priests, we don't have our own families. All of you become our family in Christ. And so just like with anybody else in our family, when a special moment comes along like this, we like to write cards and thank people and honor them and affirm them. So I want to encourage you this week, if you get the time, to write a card, to just tell Father David thank you for his priesthood and his fatherhood in your life. Because I know it would mean so much to him, coming from all of you, because he loves all of you so much, as do I. Jesus has really been using a lot of agricultural images these last few weekends. I'm not sure if you've picked up on the trend, but what, 3 weeks ago, we heard about the sparrows in the sky and how the Father is more concerned with us than them. And then the following week, we heard about how we're to take up the yoke and be like oxen. And then this week, Jesus gives us a farming image. Our Lord spent a lot of time as he traveled the countryside of Galilee, contemplating the beauty of his Father's creation. Because he found there a presence of God's love that all of us are called to discover. But what's so powerful is this weekend he presents us as God, the divine farmer, who goes and plants his seed in the hearts of his people. Now, I don't know about all of you. I'm sure we have a whole kind of mixture of people from different backgrounds, but I didn't grow up in the city. I grew up in rural Colorado on the western slope. And while I didn't come from a farming family, we were always, during harvest season, helping out with our friends. And I've always enjoyed farming. In fact, last summer I got I was able to go on vacation to southwestern Wisconsin and spend some time harvesting, and I'm going to spend some vacation in western North Dakota in the next few weeks helping with harvesting. But anybody who spends time out in the fields realizes that you live life at a different pace, at a slower pace. And that oftentimes when you're working with your hands outside, you're much more in touch with reality. So let's listen to what Jesus has to offer us in the gospel this evening. First of all, he says, the sower goes out to seed. What's so brilliant about this parable is that Jesus gives us how to interpret it. You see, with most of the parables, he leaves us to kind of have to discover the meaning. But this is the one parable that he gives his own exegesis to and says, I'll tell you what it means. So he tells us, the sower goes out to sow the word of God, the gospel. This is Jesus, who the Father sent through the incarnation to go forth and to share the gospel. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but when you come into the church in the narthex there, we have this beautiful icon depicting this gospel. It's the only icon in the world that I've ever seen that has Jesus wearing blue jeans. I always say when I see it, it makes me think that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and hipster of hipsters. But what we see is that when Jesus goes to plant the seeds of the gospel, that there are different responses to the way that we receive it. And he gives four different ways in which the word of God is received by people. And I suspect that for most of us, we can probably see a little bit of ourselves in each one of the four types of people. The first type of person that Jesus mentions are those who hear his word, the word of Jesus, and they let the devil rob this word from their hearts, Jesus says. That is, yes, they hear his word, but they don't believe in its promises. It's too good to be true. It's like a fairy tale. I don't know if I can really believe all of that. You see, this type of person may believe in God, but they don't believe and live as if God actually exists or has any purpose in their life. But you see, brothers and sisters, this is a lie. Because faith rests on trusting the promises of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is God. And if he is God and he says something, it is true. Because if truth himself does not speak truly, then there is nothing true. We believe the word of Jesus because of the divine authority in which he teaches. The second type of person he mentions are those who joyfully hear the word of God. They get really excited about their faith. They hear a great sermon or a great talk, or they have a powerful experience. But quickly, as soon as the trials and tribulations come, they turn away. They missed St. Paul's message in our second reading, where he said that the sufferings of this present moment are nothing compared to the glories to be revealed. You see, no pain, no gain. And in the spiritual life, no cross, no crown. Following Jesus isn't about being Pollyanna or wearing rose-colored glasses all the time. Jesus doesn't promise that it's always going to be easy. You see, brothers and sisters, we follow a crucified king. We can never forget that. We follow a crucified king. But that king is the Lord of life and of love. The third type of person that Jesus mentions are those who hear the word of God, but that word gets choked out by fear, by anxiety, and especially by an attachment to wealth and worldly riches. Jesus is very clear throughout the Gospels, brothers and sisters. Money cannot buy happiness. All of us, we need to hear that message because we live in an affluent part of town. Jesus has special warnings for those who are wealthy to ensure that we use our wealth for the good of others, but never to make a god of it. Because only he is the Lord, and only he can satisfy that longing of our hearts for happiness. It makes me think of the story of St. Francis of Assisi, who after encountering Jesus in that ruined church, and the crucifix spoke to him saying, "Rebuild my church." St. Francis rebuilt that little church, but quickly realized that the Lord wasn't asking him to rebuild simply this building, but to rebuild the edifice of the lives of the people who belong to the church. People who had gone so far from living the gospel, who'd gotten so attached to their wealth. And so St. Francis, coming from a wealthy family, he began to give everything away. So much so that it drove his father mad. And his father went to the bishop and said, "Francis won't stop giving my stuff away. He's stealing from me. I told him not to do it, but he's still doing it." So the bishop had to intervene. And Francis, modeling his life in obedience, as the gospel commands us, When the bishop told him to stop, he said he took off his own clothing in the town square and was completely naked, because he was no longer attached to the honors of this world or to money. And from that moment on, he lived radical poverty in imitation of Jesus Christ. Now, not all of us are called to do something so radical. In fact, I would highly discourage following him to the letter of the story. But nonetheless, we have to strip ourselves of those things in our life that hold us back from truly following Jesus. He tells us it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. So, brothers and sisters, let us imitate the generosity of Jesus with our wealth. The fourth type of person that he mentions are those who hear the word, understand it, and live it in their lives. Pray to God for the grace to be one of these people. These are the ones who trust in the promises of God. These are the ones who strive to conform themselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the teachings of his church. These are the ones who adore him with faith and reverence, recognizing his presence in the Eucharist and in their neighbor. Brothers and sisters, what is the state of your heart? Have you tilled the soil of your heart so that it can be rich, so that when Jesus comes with his word, it will bear much fruit? Or is the soil dry and rocky, so that when his word comes, it will be choked out? Or it will grow for a little bit, but the sun will come down quickly and kill it? Jesus wants his word to grow strong in the hearts of all of us. The only question is, are we going to let him?